The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said to the people, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
The people then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, once again we celebrate this great, great solemnity, the body and blood of our Lord, or as we traditionally know it, Corpus Christi Sunday, from the Latin, body of Christ. And perhaps we can take it a little bit too much for granted, just how awesome, how incredible, how mysterious, how miraculous, how essential and important this sacrament is. Body and blood of our Lord. And as I was reflecting and preparing my homily based on this sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, and by the way, this is only one portion of his address about Jesus and his body and blood. But what I noticed for the first time is that how often, again and again throughout this passage, he keeps using the words, you will live, you will have life, and it's a living bread. And really, you could say the very theme that Jesus is trying to get across, the message is so simple. He says, you need this in order to live. And that's why he gives us this sacrament under the form of ordinary food, because we understand, right, that we need food to live. We need water, we need drink, we need food and drink. If we don't eat, we will die. So we know that. That's so basic to our physical health and well-being. But Jesus is saying, in an even more important way, therefore, you need to eat me in order to live. You need me if you want to live. And it's because we are not just physical, biological organisms. We have a spirit. We have a soul. And just like our physical body needs to be nourished and fed, so too our spirit needs to be nourished and fed. And as we heard in the first reading, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to feed on our Lord. And he knows that. And he knows too, he could say, well, why is he the source of life? Actually, we shouldn't be asking that question. Because he's the Son of God. And God is the source of all life. And we're not just talking about survival or existence, right? We're talking about life. Like just like when we say, I want to live it up.
I want to live. I don't just want to exist. When we say we want life, you know, we want to go to a party because it's going to be, wow, it's going to be life-giving, right? We want a fullness of life.
One of the things we
hate is to be bored.
We want to experience the fullness of life, and those experiences we long for are not just physical. They're things like joy, happiness, peace, freedom, meaning. These are the deep longings, hungers, thirsts of our spirit. And God is the source of that.
How do we get that from Jesus, though? Wasn't he just a guy who lived 2,000 years ago? I mean, wasn't he just a man?
Well, he was a human being for sure.
But he was God coming down from heaven, assuming a human nature while remaining God. That's what we believe. Sometimes we forget that. Even our world today, most people respect Jesus Christ as a great spiritual leader and teacher. But how many believe that he's really God in the flesh, God made visible?
What we have seen, St. John says in his first letter, what we've heard, what we've touched is the word of life. And we come to testify to you. We have found it. We have discovered where life is. It's in Jesus. And he wants to give himself to us so that we can feed off him. I know it sounds very strange, but it just means that he wants his divine life that he is the source of to be in us. And he says, I'm going to provide a way so that you can have my divine life and power with the fullness of life that I said it brings, the peace, the joy, the happiness. You can have that if you receive me, if you take me into yourself. And of course, it's not just meant to be the physical act of reception at Holy Communion. It must be based on faith. Without faith, the sacrament, the power, will not have the effect upon us. We must truly believe. We must truly desire Jesus to come into our being, not just into our mouth, but into our soul. But if we do, the power in this sacrament is infinite because God is infinite. He's an infinite source of life and love and goodness. And that's why this is such good news. And that's why it's such a tragedy that so many people do not know this good news, that Jesus is real, he's alive, he's available. We can receive him even every day through Holy Communion. And again, how did he make this possible? He made it possible when he made the sacrifice of himself once and for all, body and blood, on the cross. That's when he gave himself to us. And he literally, historically, gave it all. He held nothing back. He literally shed his blood. His body was offered to the torture of crucifixion, to the suffering, and finally to death. He gave it all. And that's partly what it means. When he gives us his body and blood, what does it mean? It means he's giving us everything that he is. His whole person, his whole being, his whole life. He's giving us everything. Sometimes we say someone is such a good person, they'd give their right hand for you. You know, it's just like, whoa, pretty radical. Well, Jesus went further. He didn't just give us his right arm, you know. He gave everything. his body and blood, soul and divinity, and he gave it as a sacrifice. And you might say, but why? Why did he have to go through that to do this? Why isn't there another way he could give himself to us? And that, brothers and sisters, again, is essential if we're going to understand our Christian faith. It was necessary that he suffer and die. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin that was reigning in the world. Because we had sinned as a human race. And the only way to atone for that sin was through a perfect, infinite sacrifice. And none of us were able to offer that. The Jewish people would offer sacrifices over and over and over again, which were pleasing to a degree to God, insofar as they were sincere, but they were never enough to pay the price, to break the curse, to heal the wound, to reconcile us to God. Only a perfect sacrifice, which would require a perfect, innocent human being, Jesus, and one who was also God, could it be infinite in value. And that's why God became man in Jesus, so that he could make that sacrifice for us. And he did it freely, out of love. It's a loving sacrifice. He offered himself lovingly for us. He willingly went to his death, even though it was we who crucified him. He willingly accepted it so that the curse could be broken, so that we could be reconciled with God and obtain forgiveness for our sins. And that's what happened on Good Friday. And in anticipation of that one sacrifice, the night before he died, in order that the grace of that sacrifice would continue to have an effect throughout history and through all time and all places, he instituted the sacrament of his body and blood at the Last Supper. And he gave the power to his priests to make him present in his sacrifice on the altar wherever Mass would be celebrated. And using the signs and using the elements of ordinary bread and ordinary wine, they would be transformed into his body and blood so that we could then receive him physically, directly in Holy Communion. And all peoples could receive him wherever there were priests and churches in the world, and now we know throughout the world. So God has made this one sacrifice on Good Friday now, and the life and the power of his presence in us. And remember too, he didn't just stay dead, he rose in power and in glory, and we receive him in the resurrection form as well. We don't just receive a dead man, we receive the living God in the flesh, now glorified, resurrected. And that's, again, why the Eucharist can be multiplied, can be offered over and over again. It's the one sacrifice for all time made present on the altar and given to us in Holy Communion. And remember again, it's life. We are receiving God in human form and in through sacramental means. Great mystery. Again, we will never get our heads around it. But brothers and sisters, it's real. That's why we call it the real presence. And there's miracle after miracle throughout history. If you ever want to read about Eucharistic miracles, where God even bent over backwards, you could say, to show us that this is not just a symbol. This is real. There's countless hosts that started to bleed and turn into flesh throughout history, that people would be shocked into realizing this is the body and blood of Jesus. But it's the body and blood which is the source of life. That's what Jesus is telling us today. You need to eat me because I am the source of life. And if you want to live, you must receive me. Now, I mentioned too that we must have faith, right? And the other thing that's required is this. Because the gift that Jesus gives us is ultimately a gift of his life, but it's a gift that's given out of love. It's the supreme act of love, of the man God giving and loving us perfectly, totally, holding nothing back. By definition, or by the nature of love, It requires reciprocation. If love is not reciprocated, if it's not received and returned, then it's tragedy, right? Have you ever tried to love someone who didn't love you back? It's a great tragedy. And the great call in our relationships, and marriage again in a special way signifies that. Marriage will work when both the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, give themselves totally to each other and receive the other and reciprocate that love back. That's powerful. And that's how the two become one flesh. And so too, God now gives himself to us totally. That's what, again, body and blood. He gives himself totally out of love. But he wants us to love him back, to not only receive him, but to offer ourselves to him in return. That's the vocation, you could say, of a Christian. It's not just believing in God. It's not just following the teachings. It ultimately means, if I'm a Christian, I know that Jesus has laid down his life. He died for me. And now I know that I have one purpose in life, to love him back and to love him by giving him my life as best I can, offering to him all that I am. And again, the way that that's worked out will be depending on the vocation that God calls us to. Marriage or priesthood or religious life or even being single for the Lord. It's always a call, though, to be in this union with Jesus, a union of love. And again, this sacrament we celebrate today is the source of that. It gives us the power, you could say. Jesus, you know, St. John put it so well. He said, we can only love God because he's first loved us. If we have a hard time loving God, it just means that we haven't yet fully experienced his love. Because to know his love, by definition, then, we want to return it to him. And that's what we need to pray for today. Pray for the faith to have a deeper desire for God, for his love, for his presence in our lives, and also then the willingness, the openness, the surrender to offer ourselves back to him. And when that begins to happen, that's how saints are made. And that's what we're all called to, brothers and sisters. And by the way, if you ever want to know who are the happiest people in this world, not only in heaven, it's the saints. Brothers and sisters, don't be fooled. There's no other road to happiness. There's no other source of happiness. Oh, we might find momentary pleasure and distraction and comforts, but ultimately, life apart from the source of life is empty, meaningless, and like a desert. Only when we turn to the source, the living water that flows from the heart of Jesus, his precious blood, only when we drink from him will we be satisfied. And so let us pray for that grace to increase our desire for the Lord, knowing that however much we may desire him, he desires us even more.